Welcome to Currency of Style podcast. I am your host, Eva Kelly. This podcast is about supporting women rise in their career, encouraging you to reach for new opportunities and to find more success by elevating your style.
Okay, today on the podcast, we have Rathna joining us, who is very experienced in technology and has a background in computer science and engineering. And Rathna, thank you so much. We were a while organizing this talk, but it's wonderful to finally get to see you on Zoom and to have this conversation. So why don't you start with maybe a little introduction about yourself?
Yes. So thank you for having me on this podcast. I'm very excited to be a part of it. Yes, I am currently the founder and CEO of Actibito. Actibito is on a mission to empower women to activate, relaunch, and advance their careers in tech. We provide guidance and support needed to accomplish their goal of whether it's be advancing their career to a next role or getting a job after a career break, transitioning into tech industry.
It's a career that you have, that you, it's a business that you set up yourself, which personally I find very inspiring. And you are also doing this good for other women. It's mostly women, I presume, that's your audience. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So it's women in tech. So whoever wants to transition into tech or, you know, took a break and then coming back to the work, it's a real challenge and they're struggling. So we provide a community to support them. It's being a community and sharing all the tips and things, experiences that each of the members are going through these, that phase of transitioning or getting back into that career. It's very interesting to see how the program is helping these women to accomplish their goal.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about yourself. So, you know, were you always interested in technology and how did your career begin?
Oh, yeah. So I grew up in India, a small state called Kerala. We have like oceans all over and one side mountains. It would be some similar to Florida. And so humidity, beaches. So I grew up in Kerala, India. I didn't want to be a stay-at-home person. I always have wanted to be some sort of job person, having a job person. So I initially was dreaming about being a teacher or a bank employee. And then in high school, our school bought two computers and we had this computer period where like we get 45 minutes to be on the computer. So it was that huge monitor and CPU. So I got curious about, you know, how this thing work. And we had this computer teacher who explained it to me, like how this is working, like opening up the CPU. Then, you know, during that period in high school, I wanted to have a computer job, like something to do with computers. So I had computer science as major and then math and science as other part of the course. Yeah, I was very proud of getting into that course and being a computer woman, like a computer girl. So at that time, it was generally termed as like computer engineer. So I wanted to be a computer engineer.
When you were in college, was there anyone that inspired you or anyone that you looked up to?
And my mom always inspired me to go for it. It's like she knew that I'm not like a stay-at-home person. So she was kind of like, you know, go for it, get a job and do whatever you want. She always tell that, like she never say that this is not going to happen or, you know, you cannot do that. Even like, you know, the culture-wise, tradition-wise, there's a lot of differences in getting a job and going to a job, but continuing a job, there was challenges at that time. But my mom gave me different ideas how to navigate through that and those challenges and get the job and pursue that dream.
Were there any, just being from India and the way you're speaking about the culture as well, was religion an important part of your life?
So culture is always important in every step of that decision making, whether to study, pursue the degree, going for a job. It's always the tradition was considered, because if we are going against that culture, that tradition, then it's going to be difficult to achieve. And people will see in a different way if we go against that normal tradition.
A stay-at-home person is one example of a tradition. Were there any other examples of traditions that you were going against?
One thing is like getting a job, like being a career woman. That's not common. So getting married is the most important thing. That was how I was raised. All the girls and in my age and in my area, in my country, that was the primary goal of being, you know, growing up, getting a husband and getting married to a good family. That was kind of thing. But my mom, as I said, like, she helped me navigate through challenges. My mom always said that, you know, you can be a good wife and good daughter-in-law for the family, even if you get a job. And what are the jobs that fit into that description? Try to identify that and go for it. Some of the jobs that's like ladies friendly was being a nurse, then bank employees or cleaning crew, janitors, like that. It's all supposed to be female job titles. Yeah. So I can choose one of those. But as I said, the tradition challenges us. Like, once you get them married, it's not necessary that whatever job I'm taking, my husband or his family wouldn't, you know, share the same enthusiasm. There are huge chances that they won't like it. So there's a huge chance that I won't be working after marriage.
I just wondered, so you really went against the kind of grain sort of thing. You went against the traditional advice and you did the tech career. What was the reaction then with your husband?
Oh, he was fully supportive. Like, he was actually looking for someone with my characteristics.
Oh, perfect.
So I didn't have that kind of challenges when it came to marriage.
Oh, it's so interesting. See, I'm not from India. So it's lovely to hear the difference, your story, like, and how it was challenging, you know, because it was not normal to be a girl with these ambitions.
When I said to my father that I wanted to pursue a degree in computer science and engineering, and I wanted to be a software engineer, my parents were okay, but, you know, there's a lot of people who advised against it to my father, saying that if you're, you know, letting her study, one of the things is expensive, and then you have to pay for the college, and then you have to pay for her marriage, because there's like dowry system, things like that. So as a female engineer, my husband would be either an engineer or something similar, a professional. You know, if my parents are seeking an engineer or a doctor or a business person, then the amount, the dowry, everything would be higher. So don't let her study. That was the majority advice he got from the society, the community.
You didn't have to have an arranged marriage then.
Yes, I did have an arranged marriage. So that's very common, you know. There was no other option. So, you know, parents will seek out husbands, and if they like it, both of the parents discuss, and then we'll have a session where we meet each other. And, you know, some of the cases we might not get even time to talk to each other. Sometimes in front of parents and relatives, we get some 10 minutes to talk. So, and if the family, both families agrees, then we get married. Now things have changed a lot because of the internet, you know, the popularity of the social media, and like things got a little more easier, you know, when we talk to each other. Like, I wanted to stick to my job, I wanted to pursue my career. I will compromise anything else, but this is the only thing that's the deal breaker for me. You know, there are situations like I've seen in my with my friends and relatives that they will agree everything before marriage, and then after marriage they will come up with some sort of excuses to not let her work. So I said, you know, you cannot change that word after marriage. So, you know, my husband agreed to it. He was very open-minded. So that was, I think, I consider myself as lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Why did you go to the US?
Oh, yeah. So my husband worked here. So, you know, because I got married, I was, yeah. So there wasn't like, you know, choices of where to go. He was already here.
Were you scared or excited about that opportunity to move to America?
Yes and no, because career-wise, I imagined a lot of women here in technology, so it wouldn't be hard for me to find a job, and I will be like that, you know, in some of the movies we see, like, you know, career women focusing on their career, rushing through their career, right? So that was my imagination. So, you know, I was excited to be part of it. It's very far from India, US, and like, I like to stay with the family. I'm a family person, so I wanted to be closer, you know, there should be an option that I wanted to see them every day or like that. The hiring recruiters expressed concerns about my communication skills, whether I would be a fit for the team. That's how I started freelancing. I did some freelancing work for a nonprofit organization. I started with nonprofit organization. So I understand. I mean, I have never before that worked independently, right? So I worked with American Express Australia. So it's like Australian clients in New Zealand and UK people and in fintech and telecommunication industry. So, you know, I was busy with my job and being in a corporate world, and coming to US and starting on my own as a freelancer was, it's a new territory for me. So I did work for a Denver Public Library. Then
and they didn't pay
farmers organization, urban gardens. So yeah, so that work, you know, I built web apps, I built websites, I built features like, you know, apps to help make the jobs of librarians easy. I built internal tools for them, and none of those skills was valued because I didn't get paid. I chose that not to get paid because I wanted to learn the process. It's a new territory, so I didn't know how much I should be asking for. So, you know, so those were some of the challenges I had. Then I, you know, I translated, I pushed through it. I made contacts, you know, hadn't built a network. And then I got pregnant with my son. And so I was not in a mood to work. I wanted to focus on what's coming, and it's a new, again, it's a new thing. Like, you know, in India, there's a family of people taking care of during that process, the pregnancy, and after, you know, postpartum periods, there's like, you're treated as a princess while you're pregnant in India. So I didn't want to work at that time, but I didn't want to stay away from my career too. So I started a group called Moms Who Code in my neighborhood. So we can all bring our kids to one of our houses because we all had babies. So we gathered together once in a week. Every other 2 days, we, you know, started as once in a week, and then we moved to every other day. It was fun because kids will play together and we moms just discuss about what to learn. So everyone's passion, we discuss about our passion, what career we need to take on after, you know, when kids grow up. Like a lot of moms were interested in having a tech job. So we started learning skills so that we stay trending, you know, we learn new trending skills like that.
So that's with these women from India as well.
Yeah. There's a group of people in my similar situation, and we are all passionate about technology. We have kids and we are in the same situation. So, you know, how to convert this time?
It's really courageous of you to start this group.
Yes. So, you know, it was like, reaching out to people to see that if there was an interest. And during that short period of time, there were like 25 people were interested in the group, like in meeting up and discussing about technology and learning different skill sets so that we can be ready.
Group still going?
No, so I started like, you know, that was my initial experience before coming up with the idea of Activator. Once we did that, like we were doing that, and you know, kids are growing, right? So we kind of like looking, you know, I started looking for how to get back into the job as a full-time employee, not as a freelancer, because with kids, it's you know, finding, it's always stress finding out clients and stay relevant on the so there, you know, being a freelancer, there was like its own challenges. So anyway, so I started applying to the jobs again to see that what my possibility, because I now have experience. And so I tried to apply, and again, that career gap became a challenge for me. Like, you know, you didn't work for last one year, or you didn't have any project for last 2 year, like that, you know, 6 months. It became like that was a response. And I tried to apply to these programs called Return to Work. That's one run by different companies in Bay Area, New York. But, you know, they didn't hire me or, you know, included me in the program.
So I've gotten a lot of rejection.
Yes. So that's why, like, you know, I started thinking about like how I can bring that program in my city. Like it's all city based. So how I can start that in Denver. Already I have experience having this Momso Code. It's a meetup group, you know, like, you know, just moms meeting up and discussing, but I can make it more professional, how I can do that. That's how I started Activator. That's how it came into place. So from learning those, you know, doing a lot of research, I came up with this program, and it's been going successfully. And I'm very excited for the future. Like I can help these women, and it's one of my experience that I the struggles that I've gone through. So I know what these women are going through. And that's something like, you know, having that understanding is important when we provide that guidance.
For the women listening today, if somebody's in this situation where they're out of work for a while, maybe a couple of years, they want to get back into work, how can they work with you? Is it like a group coaching?
It's a personalized program. Why I'm saying personalized is it's based on what's your background, mm-hmm. and what are your skill set currently, and what job you want. It's like, you know, personalized program for each of the member depending on what skill set they have and what background and what job they want. Companies are looking for candidates that have recent technology skill set and experience and things. So we need to be up to date and upskill to the trending technologies that the companies are looking for. So, you know, if there is nothing wrong in planning a year-long career goal, it just makes sure that you know, having learn new skills, whatever coming out, how to learn it, how to apply those skills that in your dream job. So those are some of the things that we provide personally, different for different people.
I wanted to say that if anyone, you know, struggling or facing those challenges and wanted to talk about how to pursue a career in tech, reach out to me on LinkedIn. You can search for Rafna Bash or my email, rafna@activator.com.
I'll put those in the show notes, your contact details. Can people who already are very experienced in tech, can they also benefit from your help? Like maybe they just left work for maternity leave and they want to come back in again?
Yes. So most of the members who are moms who took a break from their career and wanted to come back. And there were a small category is that women who is in the job and is not getting a promotion, or, you know, they're not advancing in their career.
That's wonderful. And it's kind of like the work I'm inspiring to do as well, to help women get the promotion. I just had a quick idea there. Is if like a major company was listening, you know, one of these big tech giants, is there any way they can help you with your business? I mean, could they let you come into the company and give a talk, or is there any way they can support you?
Yeah, so there are ways that they can support me. Like, you know, for women who wants to advance their career, I'm happy to give a talk about it, give them the tips to do that, inspire them to identify what their dream is about. So I can, you know, discuss about what their options are.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're helping lots of your friends in India. Would that be right? Like, you know, they need more support. Like, you had a really hard time breaking into the tech world in America. So I'm sure these big giant tech companies would like to help you, because you can help, you know, the minority groups that aren't being seen as much, and support them. And I think it's wonderful what you're doing.
Thank you. Yes, I have members from other countries as well. So I started this just for the Denver, for Colorado community, and then pandemic hit. So we're forced to do it online, remote. So when we opened the doors as remote program, we had women joining from Brazil, Thailand, Russia. And so their situations are different than what we have in the US. But what I was able to provide them is that experience factor that they can work on in a project and understand how a project, a software development, a product development is happening, and also how they can transfer these skills to their industry, their economy.
Okay, so you mean you actually give them little projects to do so they can say that they've worked in that field?
Yes, so they were able to work on these projects with other team members. Some of them are very new to this. Like, one person was working in a bank, and she was as a tech support, she was able to run some Python codes. She was interested in having that career, but there wasn't any option for her. So what we did is, like, we helped them with the Python, how to, you know, code in a Python, how to run commands. That's helpful for her in her job. And so now she got promoted in her bank as a senior tech person, and she was able to continue the job, but got promotion because of how much effort she put in. That helped her to showcase her skill set to her management. Yeah. And so she got the promotion. So then she had the skill set. She was able to run codes in Python, but she didn't know how to transfer those skill set to her job and showcase that skill set, showing the senior managers that she has the skill and she can prove it. So she didn't know how to execute that. So that was the one thing that we focused on, how to transfer that to her. So she got promoted. She was moved into a bigger branch now. She still keep in touch with us, and she was so excited. We are so excited to see her journey.
Yeah. Well, your story, Rafna, is so inspiring. And I mean, just listening to you, the journey you've been on and all the obstacles that you faced, and you didn't give up and you kept persisting. And then you took the lesson from it, actually, because you said, if I'm struggling so much to break into this world, let me build a community of other women struggling with this problem as well. And let's come together. And you made so many changes in other people's lives through that. So we're given difficult experiences and you turned it into an opportunity. So your story is really inspiring. And, you know, if there's anything else you want to add to the women listeners today, you know, please let me know anything else you want to share. Or, like, you know, I just, as I was saying, your story in itself is inspiring enough. But if there's anything more you want to add, please share.
Yeah, so what I wanted to say to the women who's listening to me is, find out what you want. So one thing is identifying, what's my skill set? Who am I? What I want it to be? Try to dream about it. Like, what do you want it to be? What's your dream? Identify your skill set. Have a self-assessment. You will be finding out so many skill set that you have and you don't have. And then I wanted to say that execute it, you know, plan for it, execute it, act on it. Don't wait for someone to say to you that, Now you proved your skill set. Now we can offer you a promotion. Don't wait for that. Make a plan. This is the job you want, or this is the career that you are envisioning. Plan and then execute it. Act on it. If it's something like, you know, asking for a promotion, go and ask for it. Another thing I wanted to point out, like when you think about your career, your goal, identify the skill set needed for your dream job or dream goal. Don't wait for someone to come to you and say that now you proved yourself. Yeah. Don't let the others dictate your path and the timeline that you wanted to accomplish something. Go for it.
Yeah, that's really, really good. It's really simple as well. The first piece of your advice, like, know what your dream is, because if we don't have a vision, we can't orient our whole decisions towards that vision. I think it's really important to have that clarity. So,
yeah.
Thank you so much, Rathna. Thank you for all your advice and sharing your story with the listeners today. And, you know, I'll definitely put your details in the show notes. Do you want to just give it a shout out again, the website?
Yeah, it's activator.com. So it's it's a Japanese word for activate. So it with a K, so A-K-T-I-B-E-T-O. So activator.com. So I'm happy to help in any ways.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much again, Rathna. Thank you.
Hey, if you would like to improve your style, I invite you to work with me one-on-one for 6 weeks. We go through a complete style overhaul. It's a transformation that's going to have you looking and feeling like the best version of yourself. When you change your style, you change your life and your confidence improves. I want to see you succeed. I want to see you become the best version of yourself. And we start with style. So if you're interested, reach out to me on Instagram at thecurrencyofstyle.